Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Decatur Herald and Review of July 26, 2016. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headline, Survivors of Cancer Victims Marry, Now Family of Eight, written by Paul Switch, Lee News Service writer. Bloomington. Sometimes being a caregiver to a loved one with cancer feels like the world is spinning without you. The world is spinning and you are stuck in this nightmare, observed Mike Fitzgerald, 44, who was caregiver to his wife, Elaine, who had a form of skin cancer. Elaine died on December 2, 2014, at age 39. It seems like the world is going on around you, but you just don't know if you're going to get another day, said Stephanie Moore, 38, who was caregiver to her husband, Noah, who had colon cancer. Noah died on November 12, 2014, at age 32. After their spouses died, Fitzgerald and Moore separately began to attend a grief share group at Eastview Christian Church. Commiserating over lack of sleep and single parenting turned into a mutual respect, then a friendship among the two families, and love between Mike and Stephanie. We realized that this connection we had was a gift resulting from tragedy, Mike said. They married April 30th, with their children, Sophie Fitzgerald, 14, Kayla Fitzgerald, 11, Ethan Moore, 11, and Eli Moore, 7, surrounding them. I will never replace Elaine, and Mike won't replace Noah, Moore said. Even though there are six of us, we consider ourselves a family of eight. Noah Moore was a senior technician with Illinois Eye Bank. Stephanie Moore is a respiratory therapist at Advocate Bromen Medical Center. In November 2013, Noah began experiencing constipation and pain. Within the month, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Stephanie took time off from work to be her husband's caregiver. I bathed him, changed him, gave him his meds and everything he needed, she said. Moore told his wife that after he died, he wanted her to find someone else. Sometimes Ethan and Eli stayed with relatives and friends. We tried to keep their lives as normal as possible, Stephanie said. After Noah died, the next few months were a blur, Stephanie admitted. The Fitzgeralds, Elaine, Mike, Sophie, and Kayla, lived in Bloomington. Elaine was a social worker who assisted with patient discharge planning at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center. In early 2013, she detected what she thought was a canker sore on her tongue. A March 2013 biopsy resulted in a diagnosis of squamous cell carcinoma. Despite three surgeries, cancer remained, so radiation and chemotherapy followed. For a while, she improved and went back to work. But neck pain resulted in a July 2014 surgery that included removal of a tumor in her neck. I dressed her wounds, administered pain meds, made sure she was getting proper nutrition through her feeding tube, Mike Fitzgerald recalled. More cancer was detected in October. Elaine died in December. Mike Fitzgerald and Stephanie Moore independently heard about the grief share group at Eastview. Mike and Stephanie connected almost immediately because they were close in age and had been caregivers to spouses who died of cancer at about the same time and were trying to raise children of the opposite sex. They discussed their grief, not being able to sleep, going to counseling, and parenting. Both families discovered that they share a love of the outdoors, have similar temperaments, and cherish relatives, friends, and faith. They bought a house together and married on April 30th. Blending the two families has been a lot easier than we thought, Stephanie said. I like having more siblings, and I couldn't do anything without a mother figure because Dad doesn't know anything about girls, Sophie said with a smile. We don't have a guidebook for this, Stephanie said. We're trying to make everyone as comfortable and loved as we can. Playing in the dirt. Earth campers learn horticulture, job skills while having fun. Written by Teresa Churchill, Herald and Review senior writer. Decatur. Of the half dozen teenagers who crowd around a planter stationed at a south door to MacArthur High School, Victoria Dixon is the one who literally stays down to earth. We need more soil, she announced matter-of-factly, while other students are busy putting zinnias and coleus into the pot and asking their teacher how they look. Directing her next comment to Christian Flynn, 15, so he'll give her some room, she said, I want to put some more handfuls in. Victoria, 15, is one of 42 participants in Camp Earth, which stands for Education, Avocation, Recreation through Horticulture, a six-week summer day camp for Decatur Public Schools special education students ages 14 to 21, wrapping up its 24th year this week. A first-time camper, Victoria is a MacArthur student who hopes to become a zoologist one day. "I'm actually making a lot of friends, and I'm usually not that social," she said. "It's also making me more tolerant of being outside, even though the sun and the insects annoy me." Some zoologists have to stay outside for long periods of time working with the animals. Lori Brown, director of Independence Point, said the purpose of Camp Earth is to give students vocational training and experiences they would not normally have. "We're trying to teach skills to help them in life when they get employment and become more independent," Brown said. Based at MacArthur High School, where campers eat breakfast and lunch, Camp Earth is divided into seven groups of two staff members and six students who go around Decatur improving and maintaining landscapes and planters at many public schools, businesses, and more. Field trips on Fridays are part of the schedule, too. "We get around," said Thomas Taylor, the Camp Earth coordinator, who's been with the program from the beginning. "We're one of the best-kept secrets in the city." The Macon County Mental Health Board purchases the service from Independence Point, a division of Macon Resources, Inc., also known as MRI. Vocational training, taught by Jeanette Taylor, covers such topics as how to dress for work. "It means no booty shorts," said Joseph Araza Muyuz, 17, another student at MacArthur. Hands went up every time she asked someone to read the next question aloud, including the hands of those who had trouble doing so. "Nice reading, Jermaine," Thomas Taylor said after Jermaine Woodfork, 18, a student at MacArthur, completed a passage about the importance of being a team player. Helen Perkins, 20, a student at MacArthur, volunteered during discussion about possible careers that she wants to be a wedding planner. She's been coming to Earth Camp since she was 14. In his second year at the camp, Jermaine Hunter, 17, a student in MacArthur, said he thought before he went it would be boring, but likes it now that he feels he's gotten good at gardening. "I learned not to kill plants," he said. "I used to cut the roots and messed it up a lot." The students aren't the only ones who benefit from Camp Earth, however. Each group of campers also adopts grandparents and helps them beautify their yards. Dolores Hack, 78, is among them, and said she's been especially thankful to have the extra grandchildren since losing her husband Benny in January. "I love flowers, but I'm not one to dig in the ground," Hack said. "They're really friendly kids, and I look forward to seeing them." She also likes sitting out on her porch early in the morning when the weather is nice, admiring her hanging baskets and planters filled with flowers. "It's just me, a cup of coffee, my newspaper, and my flowers," she said. "I love it." Mount Zion's Davis picks South Carolina. Written by Alex McNamee, Herald and staff writer. Dateline Mount Zion. Morgan Davis didn't have to choose, but she knew she should. Sometime after attending a national softball camp in Louisiana a couple of years ago, and before the Mount Zion basketball season that was approaching last winter, she declared her focus. Davis chose not to play for the Braves girls basketball team for which she was a young star 2 years ago. Instead, she got as real about softball as she had ever been. Now, she can relax because her business is in order. Davis committed last week to play at the University of South Carolina, a program in arguably the most competitive conference in Division I softball. Eight teams from the Southeastern Conference finished in the ESPN.com USA Softball Final Top 25 this spring. South Carolina was ranked 24th in RPI. "That was all about committing to softball," Davis said of giving up basketball. "I love playing basketball, and I wish I could, but really, looking at college softball and the path I wanted to take, you don't want to risk getting hurt. Now it's the relaxing part. It's kind of nice to play softball for the game instead of thinking about who did I email, call, are they going to come see me? That's kind of how these years have been." Davis has been on the recruiting trail since eighth grade, traveling to Scott.com and On Deck softball camps. During a camp at Louisiana State University a couple of years ago, she realized just how much she needed to give to the game to get where she wanted to go. "We live in a place in Illinois where it's hard for a lot of big-time schools to come see you," Davis said. "It's California kids you always hear about, and Florida. They have year-round softball. At LSU, that was my first major camp I'd been to at the time. You kind of had to think about how much do you work for it, how much do they work for it." The girls she competed against nationally, at camps and on travel teams, were her rivals for college scholarships. Davis is playing for the new Lenox Lightning Gold travel team this summer, a program introduced to her by former University of Arkansas coach Mike Larrabee. The Razorbacks were one of a handful of other schools to offer Davis a scholarship, according to her dad, Kenny, and Larrabee thought the Lightning would put Davis on a national stage. Kenny Davis said Morgan was also offered by schools including LSU, Missouri, Ohio State, Tulsa, Harvard, Dartmouth, and Army. Morgan is the Scout Softball's 13th-ranked prospect in the 2017 class. This spring, she hit 377 for the Braves with 34 RBIs. "I think she's always had the tools to play at that level," Mount Zion coach Greg Blakely said. "Great arm, fast, hits for some power. Basically, the SEC is looking for players like that, athletes, and then they see where they want to put you." Davis said she and South Carolina's coaches haven't discussed much about positioning. They're getting a versatile athlete either way. Davis played center field for the Braves this spring, third base, 2 years ago. She plays shortstop for the new Lenox travel team, which is the position she's listed as on most recruiting profiles, but has never played at Mount Zion. "I'm definitely going to be able to play wherever they put me," Davis said. "Bigger schools, they're really working with athletes and people that stand out to them. I've been able to take playing in the outfield and at third to use that to prepare me for different positions in college." Her play in center field was All-State worthy. She made the Illinois Coaches Association's Class 3A second team this spring. It was where Blakely and the Braves needed her this time. "Center field this year was much, much better for our team," Blakely said. "Great arm in the outfield. She's got great speed. Probably cut down some hits that might have gotten down out there." Davis throws right, bats left. Since eighth grade, she's advertised herself as more than your average lefty, typically a slap or small ball hitter, because of their proximity to first base. Davis has a bit more. At her first scout softball camp in eighth grade, she saw 15 pitches during a batting practice session, and five went for home runs. Davis has made all the right decisions since she stepped into the college recruiting universe. That includes joining the new Lenox Lightning. There, she's coached by Jim Abbott, who happened to know one of South Carolina's assistant coaches well. He helped get Davis in front of the Gamecocks staff last winter. The rest was all on her. Legislature unlikely to take up Browner's call for term limit vote. Written by Dan Petrella, Herald and Review Springfield Bureau Chief. Dateline, Springfield. Illinois lawmakers appear unlikely to answer Governor Bruce Rauner's call for a vote on a proposed amendment to the Illinois Constitution that would create term limits for elected officials. The first-term Republican governor wants the Democratic-controlled General Assembly to vote on the issue when members reconvene in Springfield following the November 8th election. Rauner renewed his call for term limits Monday during a news conference in Chicago. "These past 18 months have been a humbling experience for me," Rauner said. "I've learned just how entrenched the politicians holding power are. They don't want to change. They're focused on their own power rather than on empowering people." Rauner backs proposals that would limit lawmakers to 10 years of service in the House, the Senate, or a combination of the two, and prohibit anyone from serving more than 8 years in any executive office or combination of offices. Term limits would ensure that new faces and new ideas have a chance of entering state government, he said, noting a widespread lack of competition for legislative seats. A poll earlier this year from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University showed that 78% of voters, including 71% of Democrats and 89% of Republicans, favor term limits for lawmakers. Our people want term limits now more than ever, and that's why I'm so committed to continue the fight to make it happen, Rauner said. The governor is a frequent critic of House Speaker Michael Madigan, Democrat of Chicago, who was first elected to the General Assembly in 1970, and other long-serving lawmakers. Madigan's spokesman, Steve Brown, said the speaker believes term limits are unnecessary for state representatives because they have to face the voters every 2 years. A spokesman for Senate President John Cullerton, Democrat of Chicago, couldn't comment Monday. While campaigning for governor in 2014, Rauner bankrolled an unsuccessful attempt to put a term limits amendment on the ballot through a petition campaign. That effort was blocked when the courts that ruled that it went beyond the structural and procedural changes to the General Assembly that can be made through a voter-driven initiative. More than a dozen term limit proposals have been introduced since the current General Assembly was seated in January 2015, but none has made it to the House or Senate floor for a vote. Chris Mooney, director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois, said that shouldn't come as a surprise. It's not just Illinois, Mooney said. Legislatures do not pass these laws. Two state legislatures that did approve term limits, Louisiana and Utah, did so only because more restrictive measures were coming down the pike through voter initiatives, he said. Mooney said research has shown that many claims from proponents and opponents of term limits aren't borne out by the facts. For example, they don't seem to increase electoral competition as proponents argue, he said, nor do they appear to concentrate more power in the hands of lobbyists as opponents claim. The most significant impact of term limits is that they've resulted in an increase in power of the executive branch at the expense of the legislative branch, Mooney said. It's excellent politics, he said. It's questionable for governance. The new call for a vote on term limits comes days after a Cook County judge dealt a blow to another item on the governor's turnaround agenda, legislative redistricting reform. A judge ruled Wednesday that a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would take the power to draw boundaries away from lawmakers is unconstitutional on the similar grounds to Rauner's earlier effort on term limits. The Illinois Supreme Court has agreed to hear a direct appeal of that decision. Lake Decatur dredging moves into Basin 2. By Allison Petty, Herald and Review staff writer. Dateline Decatur. Dredging operations on Lake Decatur have made their way into Basin 2, generally the area of the lake most populated by boaters. The work started there early last week, said Jerry Stevens, engineering services coordinator for the city's water management department. Crews previously were dredging in the Big Creek area. Great Lakes Dredge and Dock, the city's contractor for the $91 million dredging project, is now about 30% complete with the work, which began in fall 2014. The city so far has gained about 15 extra days of water, with a total of 52 additional days expected after the end of the six-year effort. There are three booster stations that help to propel sediment through a pipeline from the lake to a 523-acre storage site in Oakley. The stations are located near Lost Bridge Road, US 36, and Far East Parkway. Two smaller dredges are still slated to begin work in Sand Creek later this summer, but have been delayed because some equipment has not become available from another job, Stevens said. Those operations are likely to begin by mid to late August. An area on the north side of Grove Road is being cleared to give crews a place to launch and work from, he said. Boaters should stay at least 150 feet away from the dredge at all times, Stevens said, as well as away from the pipe that floats in back of it. They've got a lot of light and things to locate and warn the boaters about where the piping is, Stevens said. We knew that was going to be a little bit more of an inconvenience because that's where most of the boat traffic is. Another part of the project has been increasing the basin in Oakley, where the sediment is stored. The earthwork has been hampered by weather at times over the past 2 years. Now, Stevens said, that work is wrapping up and should be completed by the end of August. Once the Sand Creek and Basin 2 areas have been dredged, crews plan to move into Basin 3 and then Basin 4. The location of the dredge and booster stations can be seen on the city's website, DecaturIL.gov, by clicking on the Lake Decatur Dredge Location Map button on the left side. Enraged Wife Allegedly Cuts Husband Seriously, by Tony Reed, Herald and Review staff writer. Dateline, Blue Mound. Police allege a Blue Mound woman, in love with her husband's best friend, went crazy and attacked the husband when he confronted her about an inappropriate text message on her phone. Macon County Sheriff's Office deputies said Jacqueline C. Archer, 24, launched herself at her husband in the early hours of Friday after being awakened to discuss the message and inflicted a deep slash wound to his neck that missed his carotid artery by a quarter of an inch. I could see the husband was bleeding profusely from his neck and shoulder, wrote police in sworn statements. He stated, she went crazy, hitting him, biting him, and throwing things at him. She stated she threw a heavy piece of glass from a photo stand at him, and that is what caused the injuries. Archer was later booked on a charge of aggravated domestic battery. She's free on $10,000 bail, with the condition she stays away from her husband and his home. The husband told police the furious assault on him happened in the kitchen, where his wife was allegedly hurling objects around. He stated she was attacking and biting him, so he tried to push her away from him, and she fell into the glass kitchen table, shattering it and cutting herself, the statements claim. A man described as the couple's roommate took Archer to St. Mary's Hospital, where she had intended to commit herself to the psychiatric ward. She later received several stitches to close a wound on her right elbow from falling into the glass table. Her husband also had a severe laceration to his right shoulder as well as his neck, and the hospital said the neck wound, half an inch deep, 1.5 inches long, and 1 inch wide, exposed the neck tendons. Both of the husband's wounds required sutures. Interviewed by police at the hospital where she was arrested, Archer talked of her love for another man. She stated she fell in love with his, husband's, best friend, and everything that happened was a result of stress, and that she disassociated, the sworn statements allege. She also stated she remembered wigging out. Crossing urges parents not to wait on physicals. Written by Justin Kahn, Herald and Review staff writer. Dateline Decatur. Crossing healthcare doctors Dana Ray and Margaret Thompson don't want a repeat of last October. On the day the Decatur School District no longer allowed students to attend without having updated immunizations and physicals if they were required, police had to be called to Crossing to contain the traffic created by the rush. This year, with students now needing to have immunizations and physicals completed by the first day of school on August 17th, there's even more of a responsibility for parents to take care of it early. Last year, for the first 15 days in October, we saw 500 patients just for school physicals, and the last day was chaos. Our clinic basically came to a screeching halt to accommodate them, said Ray, Crossing's medical director. We're trying to be proactive to prevent that from happening again. Coinciding with Decatur School District's week-long registration, Crossing, 320 Central Avenue, is offering free walk-in school physicals and immunizations this week from 9 a.m. to 3:45 p.m., with hours extended today until 6 p.m. No appointment is necessary. After this week, Crossing is offering its free walk-ins from 1 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Fridays through August 19th. Physicals and immunizations are also available by appointment. We've had walk-in school physical days available since March, but not a lot of people have taken advantage, Ray said. When the school district sent out the reminder last Tuesday, we did have an influx. More than 30 showed up. But it worries me how many people are still out there who haven't had them yet. Free walk-in physicals will also be available on Saturday, August 13th, at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 530 West Mound Street, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and First Christian Church, 3350 North MacArthur Road, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Immunizations are available at Macon County Health Department, 1221 East Condit, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. and 1 to 3:30 p.m., and will also be available on August 13th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Those going to the health department should bring their medical card, health insurance, or payment. Physicals are required for first-year preschool students and students entering kindergarten, 6th grade, 9th grade, and college. They're also available for students new to the area and those needing one to play sports. Physicals are good for 1 year. Rayan Thompson said school physicals aren't just a rubber stamp so a child can attend school. It's a chance to get kids really hooked in with a medical provider, Thompson said, a pediatrician at Crossing. We can go through to make sure they're growing okay and their immunizations are where they should be. And it gives them a chance to ask any questions they might have. What's this rash? How do you prevent athlete's foot? How do you do a breast exam? Anything like that. Then the child has a go-to person who has their back medically from then on. Ray said it's also an opportunity to address any unmet health care needs. Issues such as thyroid problems, obesity, nutrition, lack of physical activity, and even cardiac issues. Thompson said she recently saw a young diabetic patient with a history of heart disease who didn't have a doctor. This gives them a chance to get the care they need. If you have any comments or questions about my reading, please don't hesitate to call our office. Have a good day. Crossing can provide that. We can get them the support and resources they need if there's an issue, Ray said. Crossing will provide free required immunizations, but will also give optimal immunizations such as the flu shot and HPV vaccine. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for July 26, 2016. This was my first time reading, and I hope that you were able to understand what I read. I look forward to reading more with you soon.